I mean, does it show in like, is it just showing on like internet? Finally, like, maybe we can have a bit of some more metrics.
You know what you can do a lot on like by saying things like that? You can just throw it all out. Well, you know that. You know that.
Introduction.
To bring all the things here instead of Ray Branson's office.
I mean, the idea in having the Ray Branson's office is to get them earlier in the week.
Everyone's busy preparing all week. I understand. Everyone's busy, they know it by heart.
Rabosa, I just. Before Rabbi Willis begins, I want to thank Rabbi Willick for coming to give the first year in contemporary halacha. The course of contemporary halacha is being redone this semester. In the past, contemporary halacha has tended to be a bit of a loose course. And the idea that Rabbi Karloff asked me is to try to tighten the class up, to make it more rigorous. And the topics will now flow in a more specific order. It'll be tighter. Hopefully you'll gain more from it that way. So there are three sections that we're going to be dealing with this semester. The first section of classes will involve Kedushas Beis HaKnesses and Inyanei Tefillah. There are new courses that have never been offered before. Rabbi Sachs will be teaching for us twice this semester, Mirz Hashem. It's a new thing. The idea is that guys should learn the material. There's going to be some independent learning on your own. For these sessions, for this Zmanei Hayom session, all you will have to know for the exam, Yitzchak Shem Rabbi Willig will submit one question from this session, but all you have to know for the exam will be what's discussed in class. But for some of the other sessions, there will be some independent learning. By next week, I'll tell you a few simanim in Shulchan Aruch with Mishnah Berurah that you have to learn about Hilchos Tefillah, Kriya Shema. It should take an hour and a half a week of learning on your own to prepare Mekoros. And the more you learn, the more seriously you take it, the more we'll gain from the course. So I thank all of you for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz. Appreciated your introduction. The topic of Zmanei Hayom was chosen by Rabbi Schwartz to be the opening topic in this series because of its centrality. In other words, everything depends upon this. Shabbos depends upon this. Davening depends upon this. You have to know, when does the day begin? When does the day end? What's going on in between? Well, this is of a critical nature. And since some of you plan to become Rabbanim, one of the main responsibilities of a Rav is to see to it that the schedule in the shul is appropriate. Unfortunately, there are many places where it's not appropriate. The halachas are not kept kedas or kedin. So we're going to give an overview today. It's a limited amount of time, although according to this clock, I think we have plenty more time than I thought. But we will discuss the issues from their source. Without seeing the sources, it's too superficial. Last year we learned Masechta Shabbos, and in Masechta Shabbos there's a discussion of when does the day end. On Daf Lamed Dalam and Beis, page 2, in the, now everyone has their new Makoro sheets, everyone can take one if you don't have until now. So please take Makoro sheets. Please, please. Okay. The Gemara tells us over here on Daf Lamed Dalam Beis and Masechta Shabbos, which is the number one, first source in your sheets, is a concept called Bein HaShemoshes. Bein HaShemoshes, we know, is the time between this, what's called halachically sunset. We know it as Shkia Sachama, and the time which we consider to be night, which is known for us as Tzeis HaKochavim. Between that time, neither day nor night, we're not sure exactly what it is, and we have to treat it with the chumras of day and the chumras of night. Until Shkia, we assume, is certainly day. After Tzeis HaKochavim, we assume it's certainly night. But we have no clue how long any of this takes. The only clue is found here in the sugya, where we're given specific guidelines. The Gemara tells us that there was a specific shear. What is the shear? A certain amount of time, either a chatzi mil, according to one opinion, or the Gemara says tlos a rive mil, towards the bottom of Lamed Aleph Beis, 3/4 of a mil. That's what we pass in the halacha. 3/4 of a mil after the sun sets, that's what's considered to be night. For those 3/4 of a mil, it's what's called Bein HaShemoshes. Again, if you want to see it, it's the four lines from the bottom of the page. And the Lamed Dalam and Beis, page 2, in your sources. Okay, fine. On the next page, page 3, which is Lamed Hayam and Aleph, a different opinion surfaces. Maybe it's only 2/3 of a mil. Now, a little bit arithmetic, 2/3 of a mil is 8/12, and 3/4 is 9/12. The difference between 8/12 and 9/12 is 1/12. As the Gemara still be in the top line of Lamed Hayam and Aleph, Iga Menayu, Palga the Danka, 1/2 of a 6, which is 1/12. The difference between 2/3 and 3/4 of a mil. And the Gemara explains that the difference is not at the end, but the difference is at the beginning. When do we begin the Bein HaShemoshes period? Do we begin it as soon as the sun sets? Or is there a very short time after sunset, which is still considered to be Vadayom? Only thereafter do we begin the actual Bein HaShemoshes period. This is a dispute which is recorded here in the Gemara. Fine. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda is one of the Tanoi mentioned here in the Sugya. It's important to remember the name. Why is it so important? Because Tosis has a very fundamental question here in Achlam and Hayam and Aleph. Trade till Seymil. Kosha. Tohocha mashma de mishkiya sachama. Ara laila, lek ela tlosa rive mil. Rabbi Yehuda speaking, 2/3 of a mil. Rabbi Yehuda gufei b'psochem in Daf Tzadi Dalet says, the mishkiya sachama tezek achavim is 4 milin. It takes 4 mil. And the tezek achavim is lailo, as it says in psochem Daf Beis. So you put all this together, you're really stuck in a big quandary. How long is Bein HaShemoshes? If Bein HaShemoshes starts at shkia and ends at seis, and there are two conflicting Gemaras. One Gemara says that the time is 3/4 of a mil, that's here in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Hey. And in Pesachim Tzadi Dalet says it's 4 mil. So Rabbi Natan has a very novel approach to this. very famous approach. Rabbeinu Tam says, the Hosam Mari Betchila Shkia, V'hocha Mishatishka Misof Hashkia, Acha Shenichnas Tachama Be'ovi Harakia. Says Rabbeinu Tam as follows. The real time, which when the halachic day ends, is a shear of 4 mil after the sun sets. This is known as by us as Rabbeinu Tam's seis. That's the real time. Counting backwards from that, you have a fairly short amount of time called 3/4 mil, which is known as Ben HaShemashos. Before that, although the sun has already long disappeared beneath the horizon in the west, it's considered to be Vadai Yom. This is the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Let's review again. The sun will take a typical day for a convenience sake. A typical day, the sun rises at 6 and ends at 6. Picking that day as the average day. If the sun sinks beneath the horizon at 6 p.m., if you have in a time for another hour approximately, it's still considered Vadayom. You can drive your car on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, believe it or not. It's not considered to be Vadayom until 4 mil after that period, after 6 p.m. And the mil, we shall see soon, there are a number of different ways to calculate it, but the most prevalent one, for example, is 18 minutes. That's the most famous. You know, they have 18-minute matzahs, because it says in the Gemara Pesachim that after a mil, it can become potentially chametz. So 18 minutes, that's the shortest and most popular of all the shiurim. So if you multiply that by 4, you get 72, hence the famous 72. All right, everyone knows that the 70, did you wait, is it 72 minutes? Did I wait 72 minutes? That's where it comes from. 4 times 72. And this is what we call Rabbeinu Tam's man. So it'll come out to 3/4 mil. If a mil is 18 minutes, so 3/4 is 13.5 minutes. That's 6:58 and a half on this typical day. Till then, it's considered Vadayom. From 6:58 and a half until 7:12 is Ben HaShemashos. And after 7:12 is Vaday Laila. Are there any questions? I'm throwing some numbers around. It's hard to keep track of the numbers. I'm trying to be as basic as I can. Clear? This is a Benetam Shita, yes?
Okay, so 3/4 mil is until Ben HaShemashos, and then 4 mil?
No. That's the Urayim Shita. We're not going into that. The Urayim says that you have to worry about a 3/4 mil, or perhaps even an entire mil, before the sun even sets, it's already Ben HaShemashos. That's not acceptable, Dina. Maybe it's based on some of the Ben HaShemashos. The Hadlokas chart, put that aside. We assume that from the time the sun sets, according to Ben HaTam, until 3.25 mil later is Vadayo. That's what we call Shkia Shnia, starts Ben HaShemashos. And then 4 mil after the original sunset is what we call Vaday Laila Tizkachov. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the astronomical sunset is really an astronomical phenomenon, nothing more than that. Fundamentally, it's just telling you when the sun sinks, it's not a halachic time. Halachic times are later, 58 minutes later and 72 minutes later. This is Rabbeinu Tam's sheet. Everyone with me? Good. Yes?
Does Rabbeinu Tam relate to the sheet within the astronomical phenomena, or is it nothing more than the sheer in time?
Well, the Gemara in Pesachim says that in Amsadi Dal is the sheer of Arba Milin. Now, if that Gemara is to be taken seriously as a halachic statement, which is Rabbeinu Tam takes it as such, it's very difficult to say that it's just, you know, it's just an approximation. And if I can see 3 stars before that period of time, it'll be fine as well. Although, to be honest, the Minchas Kohen, a very famous rebbe lives in Amsterdam, said exactly what you said, that if I can see 3 stars, Rabbeinu Tam would agree that it's Vaday Laila. The 72 minutes is just what the Gemara says. He went as far as to say in the Minchas Kohen something remarkable, that 72 minutes is only in Israel. It takes a long time for the sun to set there. Come to Amsterdam, I can see stars in 45 minutes. Now, who knows the truth on this, Rabbi Sam? Where's the sunset? Where does it get dark more quickly? In Amsterdam or in Yerushalayim? Right, everyone knows Yerushalayim is close to the equator. It gets dark much more quickly. But apparently the Baal Minchas Kohen was never privileged to travel to Jerusalem, as you all have been. So he was able to say what he said. I'm sure he didn't mean to falsify, he just never saw it. So that's difficult. Others say, all right, whatever it is, if in Israel you can find stars in 35 minutes or in 25 minutes, which you can, by the way, so be it. Rabbeinu Tam will agree that that's a shorter shia. Only if you can't see any stars, it's 72 minutes. That's a difficult position. Very difficult. It doesn't fit in with the simple reading, plain meaning. But there are people who embrace that position. You with me? Yes, please raise your hands. Any questions, I'll be happy to take.
There are communities in Eastern Europe with Coptic languages.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How prevalent was that?
Very prevalent. Very prevalent. Extremely. After all, if we have a chance, we'll see the Shulchan Aruch quotes Rabbeinu Tam, the Rambam quotes Rabbeinu Tam, the Mokan Avraham quotes Rabbeinu Tam, the Taz quotes Rabbeinu Tam. This is a fearsome foursome. So they all hold Rabbeinu Tam, so it's the Pele is that things have changed, as we shall see soon. We'll have a discussion of why and how and when it changed. Okay.
So if we were to hold like a Makula, you would agree it would be less than 25 hours total?
Shabbos?
Yeah.
Much less. Much less. Shabbos, strictly speaking, if you leave out Tosefta Shabbos for the moment, but Shabbos proper, according to almost all opinions, is simply 24 hours plus 3/4 of a mil. That's the Gemara. 3/4 of a mil is Banash Moshes. So you have 3/4 of a mil to add to the 24 hours, and that's all. Not 25 hours. Good. Any questions so far? This is Rabbeinu Tam. Of course, the issue is how many stars must you see? So the Gemara says over here, on Daf Lamed Hey, Amud Beis, which is page 4 in the packet. The Gemara says on the 5th line, Shlosha, you see 3 stars, Laila. You see 3 stars, it's considered to be night. And the question becomes, it takes you so long to find 3 stars? It takes so long after the sun sets beneath the rise to find 3 stars? Really? 72 minutes? 3 stars? That's a major question. Should the Mefarshim ask against Rabbeinu Tam? It's just not true. You can find 3 stars much earlier than that. The correct answer to this is, depends where you look. Why should it depend where you look? Take a look on the Gemara here in Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, page 3, a very critical Gemara. The Gemara cites from the earlier Brisa in describing how long Ben Hashmashes is, calls man, the Gemara tells a story. Abaye Chazya L'Rava de Kadavi L'Marav. He was looking to the west to see whether it was halachically night or not. Amalei, Abaye told the Rava, V'atanya kopzman shepenei mizrach ma'adimin. Look to the east, now look to the west. Amalei misavris penei mizrach mamish lo ponim ha'madimin es ha'mizrach. And Rashi explains, ponim ha'madimin es ha'mizrach le'erev chamash okas b'marav v'zaharurei ha'chama madimin es ha'mizrach k'chalon. And therefore, you really should be looking to the west and not looking to the east, which is a simple pshat in the Braisa. Look in the east, you really should look to the west. And then Gemara repeats the same story again. So the Sefer Oros Chaim, a very excellent Sefer by Rav Chaim Druk, who lived in Yerushalayim a couple generations ago, says, you know, quotes based on the Rav Yo, just as the Gemara is looking in its original definition of when is night, when the sky starts to change color, it's no longer red, it's gray, it's blackish, whatever it may be, the criterion is to look to the west, so it would appear. So too, in looking for 3 stars, you have to look in the western horizon, all the way to the west. The fact that you can see 3 stars straight above is irrelevant. This is, I believe, the correct interpretation according to Rabbeinu Tam. And as a matter of fact, if you look all the way to the west and try to find stars, it'll take you a very long time to find them. Maybe you won't even find them in 72 minutes. All the way to the west.
Where is the astronomical division of what part of the sky?
Well, I can't tell where to draw the line in the horizon. Look to the far west, and until you see 3 stars in the far west of the horizon, will be at least 72 minutes, probably even more, as it's written in that safe. Fine. It's generally assumed that these shiurim vary depending on both the time and the place. The shiurim are given in Eretz Yisrael / Bavel, so it's basically the same latitude. And presumably they refer to what's called Yomei Nisan v'Yomei Tishrei, the equinox. They get longer the further you go away from the equator. we know that from our experience. Whoever lives in New York his whole life and comes to Yerushalayim, all of a sudden sees how quickly the sun, after sunset, it gets dark much more quickly. The equator even more quickly, and the North Pole could take you 6 months till it gets dark. So therefore, it's a range, and even within our kind of climate, our latitude, it takes longer for the darkness to descend in the summer than it does, for example, in the spring. That's what we generally assume. So on this basis, that the Vilna Gaon has the kasha against Rav Enatam, hachush makhish, that you look, you see, it can't be. Not based as we normally set over. I mean, it's the Groyas against Rav Enatam, hachush makhish, that you see three stars much earlier than 72 minutes. That's not what he asked, because we gave an answer to that question. Look in the west. His question was different. If you follow Rav Enatam and you will extrapolate and take into account the different latitudes and the different seasons, maybe large parts of the world that will never have a night. They'll never have a night. Because if you are counting from, we'll call it 72 minutes extrapolated, we'll see later, probably should be really 90 minutes extrapolated to the time and place. So there'll be so many parts of Europe that there, where Jews have been living for all generations, where there's simply no night. This is, to the Vilna Gaon, an unacceptable reality. Hence, he doesn't accept Shitas Rav Enatam. Okay? So what does the Gro do with this whole story? How did the Gro answer this whole question? The opposite of Rav Enatam. Remember, according to Rav Enatam, we mentioned sunset is an astronomical phenomenon which has very little halachic value. The Gro turned the tables. The Gro said, if you look at the Sugya Masechta Pesachim, Daf Tzadi Dal, it's cited here in Tosfos and Daf Lamed Hey, Mishkias Achama Atezek Achavim Arba Milin has nothing to do with any halacha whatsoever. It's measuring how many mil there are in a day. The Gemara Pesachim wants to know how many mil there are in a day. Gemara says there are 40 mil, and the 40 mil. Then the Gemara goes to say there are 4 mil between Shkia and Seis, and 4 between Alos HaShachar and Neitz, and there's a discussion whether it's 40 plus 4 on each side, or 40 including the 4 on each side. That's a Sugim Pesachim, which maybe we'll have a chance to discuss a little bit. But that's purely in calculation of how many mil there are. It has nothing to do whatsoever when the day ends. You know when the day ends? When the sun sets beneath their eyes, printed in the New York Times. Then it's no longer Varayom. Count up 3/4 mil from that point and on, and guess what? It's considered to be Vadai Laila. Now the shoe's on the other foot. He asks a question against the Vilna Gaon. I can't see stars so quickly. I can't see stars. So in New York, you can't see stars so quickly for obvious reasons. Number one, we're further north than Yerushalayim. Number two, there's a lot of streetlight. Streetlights, of course, make it lighter. The lighter it is where you are, the harder it is to see the stars. Number three, there's pollution. So for all those three reasons, it takes a very long time to see stars here in New York City. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, which he writes, he looked from his balcony on the Lower East Side. It took him about 45 to 50 minutes to be able to find stars, given all these other extraneous hindrances. Okay? We looked at sugya many years ago, so we made a committee in Kent Morasha to look for stars without the pollution and without the artificial light. Went up somewhere where there was almost no light, and it was in the summertime, and they found stars in the summertime, just a chevro, you know, no, just guys, a little more than half an hour after the sun sets beneath the horizon. In the summertime.
That's the east and west.
Straight up. All over. Yes?
Noticing over the summer that actually what seemed like only a few lights at the camp that I was actually obscured the stars.
Yes. Okay, so you have to find a place where there's no light. You find a place, if you're in a summer camp, you can just go a few 50 feet away and there's almost no light. You're in the trees, on the hills, and you can see earlier. Yes?
Is it thousands of stars or science, which come on a much brighter day?
I'm not an expert in astronomy, but
the.
Okay, so that presumably wouldn't count. A star watch can be seen by day, presumably wouldn't count. The stars are there all the time, especially when you see them. presumably the stars being there is a sign for darkness. Not that the stars themselves necessarily create, the visibility of stars create night. The visibility of stars in typical conditions indicate a level of nightfall, of darkness, which is considered to be night. This is very relevant because the people who drew the charts, the many charts which are produced based upon these calculations, the angle of the sun beneath the horizon, etc., etc. But the stars apparently are not as visible in the fall as they are in the spring. Even though arithmetically it should be the same, there are a series of changes between this fall and the spring. And would the spring gap between sunset and sais be identical to that of the fall? It depends. If you follow the darkness quotient, the answer is yes. If you follow the visibility of stars as such, the answer is no. So the Mefarshim point out this is a question. Rabbi Chanan has this in his Sefer Kovetz Shurim at the beginning of Pesachim. And he says he thinks that it should depend upon the darkness quotient. You don't need stars per se. Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voker was said in the first 3 days of creation when there were no stars yet. So this is one of his proofs, as we generally speaking assume. So you see that the gap between the Vilna Gaon and one and the Rabbeinu Tam is so wide. It's a chasm. It's a chasm. According to the Vilna Gaon, once the sun sets beneath the horizon, it's already considered to be Suffolk Lila. Chas Shalom Duwani Malach on Friday. Wait a little bit of time, I don't know, quarter of an hour approximately. It's already considered to be Vaday Lila. Was the quarter of an time, Vaday Lila won't, Suffolk Lila won't even start for another 45 minutes or so later. So everything's way off. There's a whole block of time which is Vada Yom according to Rabbi Natam and Vada Laila according to the Gra. That's a 45-minute chunk, approximately. That's a lot of time. Okay. It's not the first time in history that the halacha has been in question between Gedolei Yisrael. It's been pointed out that although most of the Chachmei Svarad from the Ramban on down embraced Rabbi Natam Shita. They were very big fans of the Balei Atosis. They embraced the Shita here. The Rambam and the Rif and the Gaonim never seem to have accepted it. They seem to follow what we call the Shita Sagra, which is ultimately therefore coming from the Gaon. It's a machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch passes, as I mentioned before, like Rabbi Natam. Nowadays, in non-Hasidic communities, we generally speaking don't follow Rabbi Natam. Let's leave out Shabbos for the moment. Just in terms of Zmanei HaTfilah. Hasidic communities to this day follow Rabbi Natam. They'll daven Mincha. You go to Williamsburg. You come there 40 minutes after the sun sets, they're davening Mincha. And they won't daven Maariv until later. Probably not until at least an hour after the sun sets. This is in their communities. Whereas in non-Hasidic communities, they daven Mincha before the sun sets, and they daven Maariv sometimes immediately thereafter. So this is a dispute which is generally speaking between Hasidim and non-Hasidim exists now. When did things change in what we'll call the non-Hasidic communities? Well, as I mentioned before, the Vilna Gaon was very strong in going against the Rabbeinu Tam. He had a very, very interesting ally, a younger contemporary, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Gaon didn't want to talk to him, but nonetheless, he was a major force in this gradual change. And it turns out that it's become more accepted to follow Shita Sagra. As far as Shabbos is concerned, in Europe, the distinction still existed, but pre-World War II Europe, there were communities in which there was actual malacha being done after the sunset beneath the horizon. Since World War II, I don't think it exists anywhere. Story has it, the Satmar Rebbe came to America and he wanted to reinstate the good old time religion they had in Satmar, and the Rabbanim prevailed upon him to cease and desist. So his community, they do no longer do any malacha after the astronomical sunset, to my knowledge. And I was told, as part of the negotiations, the Rebbe asked, at least you should make your Motzoi Shabbos a little bit later. If you don't want to do 72 minutes, which I require, at least make it 42 minutes. That's where the 42 minutes comes from, the called Agudas HaRabbonim, which is just a convenience, sort of an hour after Lichtmenschen. Because we have Lichtmenschen 18 minutes before because it's a mil quarter to some, or some say it's three quarters, whatever it is. That's what happens. So in all of my lifetime, that's what I remember. The calendars typically will print the Sofzman Shabbos is an hour after Lichtmenschen, but no one does Malacha after the sun sets. Apparently that's been true here for many years. Okay? And we also, almost no one do any Malacha in America less than 42 minutes after the sun sets beneath the horizon, which is an hour after Lichtmenschen. You won't find it anywhere. Even in Eretz Yisrael, where the sun sets somewhat more quickly, almost in all circles, they will desist from doing Malacha until, if not 42, certainly close to it, number of minutes after the sun sets beneath the horizon. Yes?
Is this going according to the payment of $1 million?
Right. You'll ask why they're waiting so long. 13 and a half minutes, it's done. So, Kama Chuvas Bedava. Number one, as we said before, it varies according to time and place.
So when the Marshall 3 quarters of those are first, you're saying?
Yushalayim in the springtime. That itself can mushroom in New York in the summertime to 20 something minutes, I think. Look at the charts. Perhaps two other factors are even more important. One is Tosefes Shabbos. Tosefes Shabbos, we are taught in the Yerushalmi, it's not enough to see three typical stars. You need three kochavim ritzufim to be near each other. It's called La'aloch and Shulchan Aruch. So three stars near each other is a much later shir. The shir Tosefes Shabbos. And finally, there's a Tosus here on page 4 in Yom Makoros. On Daf Lamed Hayam and Beis, which is also critical, the Taptosis. Because of questions of a technical nature, which we don't have time to go into at length, Tosfos says, Tu Terutzin. The Eshloma, the Eno Misacha Kolkach, she has Shir Tvila Bentayim. What happened? Rabbi Yossi has a Shir of Ben Ashmashas Keherafayim. A split second, Geherifying, the blink of an eye. So when is this blink of an eye in compare, which is also associated with Tesa Gachavim? Where does this fit in to the shear of 3/4 of a mil? According to the first opinion, it's almost immediately thereafter. There's no shear of tevila, of going to the mikvah, between 3/4 of a mil after sunset and this Bein Ashmashus of Rabbi Yossi, which is the Tesa Gachavim in the blink of an eye. That's the first terrace. But the second teretz, inami safek koyol lahem, and my amasl miyad achar the Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yossi, this time of three kochavim coming out is right after Rabbi Yehuda, which is approximately 3/4 of a mil after the sunset. Oh, mis acher harbe, it can be significantly later. How much later? There's no shear in shas. Use your eyes. And this attack was done by the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, who followed the Shita Sagra with respect to the beginning, we'll say the beginning of Ben Hashemashis. It was the astronomical sunset. It would never do Malachi after that. But as far as when is it Vaday Laila is concerned, they didn't trust their watches. When the watch said such and such a time, they didn't trust the watch. They didn't trust the charts. They only trusted one thing, their eyes. And they looked for stars. The most famous, perhaps, of these Gedolim was Rav Tukachinsky, or the famous Sefer called Ben Hashemashes, and he was looking for stars, and he was a learned individual, and he looked for stars, and he found them in Eretz Yisrael, something like 22 minutes, I believe, after the sun sinks beneath the horizon. The Vilna Gaon, had he been in Eretz Yisrael, would have said, no, you're wrong, you can find stars after a much shorter period of time, something like 14 minutes. But Rav Tukachinsky, despite his best efforts to try to sustain Shita Sagra, was unable to find any stars so few minutes after the sun set beneath the horizon. It took him much longer. How long did it actually take him? It took him, I think, something like 22 minutes in the spring, and it took 28 minutes in the summer. It varies, as I told you before. Now, if you want to follow up to Kaczynski, you have to extrapolate to to New York, which is where we live, and it comes a little bit more. It could be as much as 26 in the spring and 34 in the summer. That's what we're talking about. That would be considered Shitas HaGra, not the Gra proper, the Gra on a much earlier shear, but the Shita of those who go Al Derech HaGra, but they insist on waiting until they actually see three stars. Okay? Which is a very logical opinion. Aye, it's against the Gemara. It's not against the Gemara. Tosfos Anaf Lamed Hei suggests, according to the Inami, that the time for Tzitzis HaKlavim is significantly after the three quarters of a mil is over. Period. There's a great Rav and PhD professor named Harav Dr. Yehuda Levi, Leo Levi, with a whole book on this topic. And when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he looked for stars, but he had an unfair advantage. With his scientific background, he knew where to look. He knew exactly where the stars were going to be. It's much, much easier to find stars if you're looking, you're focused in one place, as opposed to when you're just scanning the entire sky. So he was able to find stars as in 15 minutes after the sunset in the springtime of Yerushalayim. 15 minutes. So I thought maybe it's somehow it's an exaggeration. I couldn't, because it's hard to imagine. So I saw his sefer is called Zmanei Hayom Ba'aloch, Rav Levi. A more recent and more extensive sefer is simply called Hazmanim Ba'aloch by a Rav who lives in Bnei Brak. I don't believe he has any PhDs, this rabbi. But nonetheless, he sent out his people to look for stars. Who did he send out? Chayalim. Chayalim are on the Mishmer, and they're sitting there, they're just watching. So it's almost, I'm not saying they're looking for rockets from the sky, but looking at the sky for them is not considered something they shouldn't be doing at the time. He actually says he's had someone sitting somewhere in the Negev, and in a mountain somewhere, and he found stars 14 minutes after the sunset. Not 50, even less than that. Which of course fits in with the Vilna Gaon. So, people ask you, well, who should we follow? The Gra himself, or the version of Rav Tukhachinsky? So I say, by the Raisis we have to go to Chumrah, and by the Rabbanans perhaps we can go to Kula. That's what I tell people to do. So for Kriyashma, the Raisis, it should be Machmir. And if you said this Kriyashma before that time, you should repeat it. But for the Rabbanans, we have reason to be lenient whenever that is relevant. Shabbos, you have to be much more strict. Because Shabbos, you have to worry about Shlosha Kochavim Ritzufim, which presumably is X number of minutes after the earlier Shira which you have been given. So therefore, the Agudas Rabbanim Shir sounds like it may be very appropriate to be a certain amount of minutes for Tosefah Shabbos after the latest Sof Zman, according to Rav Tukhachinsky's version of the Gra. His latest Sof Zman will be probably 34, 5, 6 minutes after the sun sets, and you add a few minutes before you turn around, you run into the Agudas Rabbanim's Zman that they print every week in their calendars. Karabos, say with me. It's not to say we should run out as soon as that happens. It's better to be Machum Lotzis, if you say in the Zmiris. Especially since Rav Moshe was Machmer for 50 minutes, because he couldn't find stars in his balcony in the Lower East Side until 45 to 50 minutes after the sun sets. So that's what he said, 50 minutes. So that's something worthy to be Machmer. And even more than that, we're running. Whatever's ever running away after Shabbos. In some shuls, in such a rush, they wanted to have Marv so early, they should finish the Marv at 42 minutes. After the Shkiyas, they can make out dollars, it's that second printed in the calendar and then run to the movies. So that's those people have that. Okay, good. In my shul, we won't even start davening Maariv until 42 minutes after the Shkiya or a bit more. And so until we finish and everything, we'll probably never make Maariv in our shul. We don't make Avdallah in our shul in all likelihood until after, at least an hour after the sun sets, usually even a little bit more. Just based on, we say, Yitin Lecha. You have certain things we say in our shul which other shuls don't say. So it takes time. We say the David Baruch. A lot of things which most shuls don't say. Yes?
I wasn't sure. Is there some given exact times?
He printed exact times. Yes, absolutely.
Is it variable?
It's variables with the seasons, yes. Oh. The Sefer Zman and Ba'alocha is, he made certain changes to my mind when I saw the Sefer, because the question is, when exactly does the sun set? I thought sunset was a given. If we're looking at the New York Times, or I guess the Jerusalem Post, it was called the Palestine Post then, whatever, look at the newspapers. But it turns out that that's not so simple, because there are those who consider Shkia Sachama not to depend upon sea level, which is what the New York Times does, and not just because New York City is on sea level. Thank God we're not below sea level, like some other towns, different new. But they say Yerushalayim is above sea level. So therefore, let's count the Shkia should be somewhat later. So it could be that his Cheshbon is really a little bit longer. When he said it's 22 minutes after Shkia, he meant his Shkia, which could be 3-4 minutes after our version of Shkia. When I say our, I mean the scientific version of Shkia. So things may have to be postponed a little bit more after reading the Sefer Zman and Ba'alacha. But a few minutes, not more than 3-4 minutes. Right. That's a very good question. One Shabbos talks about the accepting Shabbos here and putting on Shabbos there. It should be Ma'achrim Lotzes U'memarim Lavo. That Gemara to me proves that you follow sea level. That's why I read that Gemara. You follow sea level. And somebody who is going to calculate on Friday in a low place and the Motzei Shabbos in a high place is not just doing what you have to do. He's doing an extra hiddur. He's chelki, something which is more than required. According to those who maintain it depends upon where you are, that's a requirement. What's he chelki? Kind of he chelki that he's doing what you have to do. I once had an argument about this with the late Rav Hagaon of Farbstein Zatzal from Yeshivas Chevron. He's come to my neighbor for Shabbos frequently. So he once suggested that. It all depends on where you are. So I said, Harav, I told him. That means if, let's say, I didn't have a mincha, I'd have no problem. Go up, I said, at the World Trade Center. Now I can say the Empire State Building, which is almost as high. And I go quickly up to the Empire State Building. It's already after Shkia. And now I can see the Sanak. So now I can have a mincha for a longer period of time. I said, yes. So it's Shabbos down here, not up there. He said, yes. And if it's in a plane, it's even like, yes. And when I started, he started yelling at me, screaming at me. I'm an Amoritz, he said, to think differently. He called me up afterwards to apologize. Said he found up someone sheet that holds like me. I think Mrs. Zalman says like me and Evan also. I think it's printed in some of these secondary sources called. But I think it depends upon sea level.
Isn't there a possible hillock between artificial structure and the natural geographical structure?
Perhaps not. And otherwise, a very strange thing. I walk by as a natural Grand Canyon. I walk here and it's a whole different sheet. It's hard to imagine.
Everyone in
Sikora
used to bring
Shabbos
at that time.
I understand that, but if he means I'm doing lifnim mishur asadin, not the din.
Mishur asadin is doing it one way in one place, another way in another place.
So it was both lifnim mishur asadin, because instead of following sea level flat, which he should have, he was bringing it in early and taking it out late. Enough, I don't spend more time on that now. Okay, Rabbi Ostai, so we have the Shita Sagra. Rabbi Natam, opposite from each other. Is everyone following me so far? Somehow the Gra and the Alter Rebbe were able to make this incredible change in the Minhagim of Klal Yisrael. It really is quite an incredible change. It really is. Sefer Zman HaBalacha says it may depend upon the migrations of Klal Yisrael as well. When we migrated, he says, if you'll always find that the people who lived in the closest to the equator had earlier Shirim, and those who lived further north had later Shirim. But it's just a fascinating interface of demographics and geography on one hand and halacha on the other hand. You look, you'll see. Okay. For both sides, there are two other important disputes which I'd like to discuss with you. The first is... How do we calculate all the hours for the various Zman? You know, the Zman Kriyashma, the Zman Tefillah. How do you calculate it? So you're probably familiar with they have these calendars on the wall, they have the big bold letters when Zman Kriyashma, and then every week you rip it off, And since I don't print them, they're big bold letters these days, especially in Eretz Yisrael, and even now it's started in America too, have an early Zman. And then in small letters in the bottom says, the Fiat Gra, it's that many minutes later. When I was growing up, it was the other way around. used to have the grows and big bold letters. The Fiyam Bogan Avraham was in small letters. They still have those charts anywhere? Anywhere? They still have them? Baruch Hashem. Where? Huh? I don't know what's going on anymore with these charts. People taking over the world with the earliest man. Dumbrough? I don't think so. In big letters?
Yeah. What time is Christmas at 8:50?
That's the Mogan Avraham. The Gra is 9:40. The Gra is 9:30 something. Yeah. I won't discuss what Dumbrough Davos on Shabbos morning. We won't even go into that right now. But you know, that's part of it. When I was going up in my shtiebel, I tried to get him to Davos early. No! We missed this manim anyway. And everyone says Krishma at home anyway. So that was the mentality in the shtiebel, which I think is, if you are a rabbanim in your community, you should not have that mentality. We'll get to it. So the Gra, consistent with his opinion, as I would understand it, says, look, the sun rises and sun sets. Sunset is certainly a halachically valid time. And therefore, it's sunrise a bit less, but we should count from sunrise to sunset. One quarter into that time is Sofzman Kriyashma, one third is Sofzman Tefillin, Shidas Agra. Rabbeinu Tam, who ignores sunset as a halachic phenomenon, and sunrise also doesn't mean too much, he would presumably count the day from Alos HaShachar, which is 4 mil before the sun rises, until Tes HaKochavim, which is 4 mil after the sun sets, is known as the Mogan Avraham's man. What's the Mogan Avraham's man? Well, if you will count 72 minutes flat, which is what some people do, by definition, the Mogan Avraham's man, Krishna, will always be every day of the year 36 minutes before Shitas Agra. That's what most of the calendars print. You look at the 36-minute gap. Why 36 minutes? Very simple. If the day starts, we'll call it 72 minutes earlier, and there's 6 hours from the time that it goes from this, the beginning of the day until Chatzos, every minute, every hour catches up 12 minutes. Here's his midpoint, is 3 hours into the day. One quarter day is over. It's going to be 36 minutes. That's a little bit of arithmetic you'll get to. It's on the typical day when the sun rises at 6 and sets at 6. So is my Krishna for the Gra is 9 o'clock. And so is my Krishna for the Rabbeinu Tam and the Mogan Avraham is 8:24. Because they're not counting from 6 to 6. They're counting from 4:48 until 7:12. Take out your calculator, you'll see it all works out. Sure. This is machlokas. The Vilna Gaon is very cognizant of the fact that Rabbeinu Tam is against it. If you look at Chidushi Agra and Brochas Av Gimel, he explains the Tosfos there, says, Beferish like Rabbeinu Tam. And he says, but they're wrong, because we don't pass in that way. We pass in that the times are calculated from sunrise to sunset, and not the earlier time, Shvasman Krishma, from Alos HaShachar until Tzeis HaKochav. Is that clear? That's Machlokas number 2, between the Shitas Agra and the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. The Mogan Avraham doesn't say Rabbeinu Tam as such, he's on his own, but in my view, it's Ha B'Ha Talia. It goes together. It goes together. Okay. Now, the reason for this, of course, is that we assume, based on Svara and the Gemara and Pesachim Daf Yud Aleph, that at Chatzos, at midday, the sun has to be exactly above us in the horizon, straight above. It's a famous Gemara, the Edom are contradicting each other. One says before Chatzos, the other Chatzos, the sun, the shadows are in this direction, in that direction. So now, if you're going to utilize Alos HaShachar is your beginning point, you're going to have to utilize Seis HaKochav, which is 4 mil after Shkia, as your ending point. But why should you do that according to the Grom? It's a halachically meaningless time. It doesn't make that much sense to do that. That's according to the Grom, therefore, the best thing to do is from sunrise to sunset. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's the other way around, as we spoke earlier. Anyway, any questions? Yes?
Why can't you count from the nets to Shkia?
That's the point. Shkia Shnia has no parallel. There's no symmetry. If Chatzos has to be the midpoint of the day astronomically, you have to have symmetry.
Is that uncontested? That Chatzos has to be the midpoint of the day?
Is it uncontested? The Gemara sounds to me explicitly to say so. The Pesach of Daf Yud Aleph from the base. I was once heard a shir from Zalman Chaim Goldberg who said maybe not. Maybe you should count from Alos HaShachar until the Shkia, until the taste of the Gra. Everything's going to be much earlier. including Zman Krishma. Bad news for the guys like to sleep late. But everything but Chatzos will also be earlier. To me, that seems to be almost untenable. I can't understand how that could be. Anyway, a third and final dispute in this question is how long is a mil? How long is a mil? Now, a mil, by definition, is really a measurement of space, not of time. A mil is 2,000 amos. And when the Gemara writes, refers to a mil, it means how long it takes to walk those 2,000 amos. So how long does it take to walk 2,000 amos? Well, it all depends how long is an amos. Another issue we won't go into right now, the Chazanish and his longer amos, others have shorter amos. So traditionally, there have been three different ways to calculate what a mil is. All based on the sugya Masechta Pesachim, I do not believe it's in the Makoros. Is it? It is? Yeah. It is? Okay, so where is that? Okay. Sadi Gimel and Sadi Daz in the Makoros, page 6 and 7. Okay, very good. So on page 6 and 7, it tells us the Mishnah, Zehu Derech Rechoka, Min Amodin Velachutz Uchimidas Alecho Ruach. How much is that? Since the Gemara, Ula says, Chamisha Asa Milin Havya. So to walk a half a day, it's 15 mil. So if to walk a half a day is 15 mil, Rabbi Osai, a little bit of arithmetic, it means to walk a whole day is 30 mil. Okay? Now what does a day mean? What does a day mean? If a day means, let's for argument's sake assume, from sunrise to sunset, which is 720 minutes, 12 hours, divide that by 30. 30 into 720 is 3 into 72 equals what? No. 72 divided by 3 is what? 24. Hence a 24 minute mil. That's at the outside. That's the biggest possible shear.
Is that 31?
What?
Is it 31 mil in a day?
30. 15 times 15 is 30. Okay, good. The Gemara on Daf Tzadi Dalet seems to say that Tiyufta de Ula, that Ula is refuted, and therefore we have a different calculation. The Gemara is the famous Gemara which Tosfos was quoting over here. We're told that there are Eser Parsos in a day. 40 mil, not 30, but 40. Okay? From Alos HaShachar till Neitz is 4, and from Shkiyah till Tzeis is also 4. The question is, where do these 4 belong? So Rashi understands that the 40 is inclusive. So 40 is inclusive, lop off 4 at the beginning and 4 at the end. What are you left with? 32. Anyone have a calculator watch? Anybody? Some kind of calculator? Got a calculator? Good. Figure it out. Take 720 divided by 32.
22 and a half.
22 and a half. So according to Rashi, the mil would seem to be 22 and a half minutes. The Gra said that Rashi is incorrect. Pshat here in the Sugim Pesachim is 40 mil exclusive of the 4 before and the 4 after. So if that's the case, if there are 40 mil between sunrise and sunset, so what's 40 into 720? 18. Hence the famous 18, the most famous shear, the 18 minute mil. With me? So this is again a matter of dispute. My own position on this is that it's Haba HaTalia. The Rova Poskim. Where do I get it from? If you look carefully, according to the Gra, it should come out an 18 minute mil, as we said before. Everything seems to work out very nicely, very beautifully and symmetrically. However, the Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, all of them, in explicating the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, throw in a little bit of an interesting idea. They claim that according to Rabbeinu Tam, that we calculate the day is not over until 4 mil after the sun has sunk beneath the horizon, they say, Plag HaMincha, an important phrase. What does Plag HaMincha mean? Plag HaMincha is halfway between the end of the day and Mincha Ketana. What is Mincha Ketana? Mincha Ketana is 2.5 hours before the day ends. So Plag HaMincha is an hour and a quarter before the day ends. So what's an hour and a quarter compared to sunset according to the Gra? an hour and a quarter. And the summertime it'll get bigger, right? It'll be longer, it'll be probably more than an hour and a half, at least in New York. That's Plaga Mincha, Kshit Lefishit Yisagro. Kwan Rabbein Atam, when is Plaga Mincha? So this, all these Gedolim, Ramban, Rash, Bar, Ritva, all say the same thing. The Plaga Mincha Rabbein Atam is a shtus mil, is 1/6 of a mil before astronomical sunset. Remember, astronomical sunset is almost meaningless according to Shita's Rabbein Atam, but 1/6 of a mil before that is a very meaningful milestone known as Plaga Mincha. So the Sefer Oros Chaim says, oh, this proves, and everyone agrees to the 18-minute mil. The Gro holds from it, and even Rabbein Atam. Why? Because it fits in very nicely. If what's a shtus mil? 3 minutes, right? 1/6 of 18. What's Plaga Mincha? An hour and a quarter. What's an hour and a quarter in minutes? What? 70 what? An hour and a quarter? 60 plus how much?
75.
Oh! 75 minutes before the seis is exactly 3 minutes, which is shtus mil, 1/6 of 18, before the astronomical sunset. At first glance, it's a perfect fit. The problem with this is that it doesn't add up. Because the Gemara has a Masechta Brachos in discussing the various times for the tefillos. This Gemara is not on your handouts. It's Gemara Masechta Brachos. The Gemara there says that Mincha Gedola is 9.5 hours into the day, and Mincha Katana is 6.5 hours into the day. Presumably, the two are exactly 3 hours apart. Now, if you do a little bit of arithmetic, if you're going to assume the way these Gedolim did, that the Fira Ben Atam, the mil is 18, so 4 mil is 72, so therefore you're running back, you say that the sun sets at 6, so 7:12 is Friday night, 6:57 is, 5:57, they would say is Plaga Mincha, an hour and a quarter before 7:12. Take back another hour and a quarter. Where does that take you to? Well, it's an hour and a quarter before 5:57 would be what? 4:42. Right? And that's supposed to be 3 hours after the Mincha Gedola. Doesn't work. Mincha Gedola is 12:36, according to them. It's the half the day plus a half an hour. Now, granted, their hour may be 72 minutes, because they're only 72 minutes, and it was called an extended hour. But that's it, or maybe be 12:30. But there's no way it's going to fit. It just doesn't work. So therefore, my view is the other way around. I mean, the time holds at the mill is 22.5. As such, seis is 90 minutes in Jerusalem in the springtime after Shkia, and the Oros Chaim. That's when he found the stars. He didn't see stars in the west till 90 minutes. After the sun sets beneath the horizon. How does the shtus mil work out? Here's the answer. The hour then is not going to be a 60-minute hour, nor will it be a 72-minute hour. The hour is going to be who can guess? Not so big. A 75-minute hour. Very simple. According to Rabbi Natan, if the day starts at 4:30 a.m. and ends at 7:30 p.m. So you have 12, right? So you have every hour will be in a sense an hour and a quarter. Do a little bit of arithmetic. You add a quarter six times, gives you an hour and a half. So an hour and a half extra in the morning and an hour and a half extra in the evening. It just works out perfectly. And if you follow the arithmetic, this certainly requires a calculator. If in fact the Fira Ben Atam, the valid Tes Kachavim is really 7:30 on the typical day when the sun sets at 6. Okay? So let's count back. Let's count back what he calls, how should I say it? He counts back. So what is a mil, he said? 22.5 minutes. You need fractions over here. So what exactly is, when will be Plaga Mincha? It'll be an hour and a quarter, but an hour and a quarter But each hour is 75 minutes. Does he need a pen and paper? What is 75 times 5 fourths?
75
times 5 fourths. Right. 93 and 3 quarters. Excellent. Now, 93 and 3 quarters is exactly 3 and 3 quarter minutes before 6 o'clock. With me? Start at 7:30. Go back 90 minutes, takes you to 6. Everyone knows an hour and a half is 90 minutes. And you know, 3 and 3 quarter minutes. Take 3 and 3 quarters and multiply it by 6. What do you get?
2 and a half.
Presto! 22 and a half! It fits like a charm. That's the shtus mil. It's not 3 and 18, which is... Right. Then, if you count back, 3 more hours, not 3 times 60, but 3 times 75, which I think is 225 minutes, counting back from that unusual time known as... you have to count back from Mincha Gedola. Mincha Gedola would be not 5:57 and a half, but you have to count back another 93 minutes, whatever it may be. You'll take it to whatever it's for something or other. It comes out exactly so that there are exactly 3 hours and 75 minutes each between 12:37 and a half, which is going to be Mincha Gedola, and whatever it's 4:22 and a half, whatever it happens to be, which will be the Mincha Ketan. It fits in like a charm. So in my view, I mean, the time holds from the longer Zman, which is 90 minutes. Truth to tell, some of the briskers keep even a longer Zman. They keep let me give you a little bit of Yiddish. The 72 minutes that we keep, and there are those who keep. So again, so many yeshivas, they keep 72 minutes flat. No chachmas, Rav Aaron Kotel, 72 minutes flat. That's it. Finished. This is I don't want to call it a scientific know-nothing attitude. Doesn't take into account the seasons and the latitude. Garnished. 72 minutes flat. Well, from our perspective, this is not doesn't sit well with us, but there are those who say shovels, and maybe it can even fit into whatever. Briskers, the chumas of everybody, the chumas of Torah and the chumas of Matan. So they say, you want to count 72 minutes, you have to count it proportionally, what they call proportionate. They say you have to wait a tzentel. What's a tzentel? In Yiddish? A tenth. Why a tenth? Because the day is 720 minutes, so 72 is one tenth. But the briskers themselves recommend waiting what they call an achtel, an eighth, because 90 is one eighth of 720. I recommend for those who want to be strict to keep the achtel. I think according to Benetam, the achtel is accurate. So what is the achtel? The achtel would be if the sun sets at 8:30. And when you're in Shalayim in the summertime, in the springtime, you have to wait till 10 o'clock to do Malach on Motzei Shabbos, minimum. Right? It's an hour and a half. What about in June in New York City when the sun does set at 8:30? What will the Achtel yield? The Achtel will yield, I believe, 10:55 p.m. So you can't do Malach until 5 minutes to 11 if you want to follow the Achtel. In my community where I live, there's only one person I know who follows the Acht. Only one such person. Yeah?
Shouldn't it be proportional to the night rather than proportional to the day? Because isn't the time of the stars today proportional to how quickly it becomes night and how short the night is? In which case, in the winter, the Acht will be shorter than in the summer. So in the summer, the Acht will be shorter than in the winter.
No, we assume that, though, right? For good reason, based upon the sugars. But let me leave that for the moment. But the super briskers, so you have to worry about the Zextel. What's the zextel? A sixth. What's a sixth? It's 2 hours. 2 hours. Where do you get 2 hours? Well, very simple. If there are 15 mil, if you could walk 15 mil in a half a day, so you can walk 30 mil in an entire day, so therefore what? Two things emerge. You can walk 30 mil in a day. Number one, the mil is 24 minutes, right? 30 into 720. And number two, if there's only 30 in the middle and it says there's a total of 40, so there's 5 on each side. So you have 5 times 24. 5 times 24 is 120, a zextel. In my view, although the in Hilchos Shabbos we'll find poskim that quote the zextel, but it wasn't created in Brisk. You look in the Dogel Miravava and in the Rabbi Kiveger and other mefarshim in the side and some Reish Samach Aleph and elsewhere. The fiyan is that there is no need to follow this chumrah at all. It can't be. It's against the Gemara. And I don't have the time to go into it right now. Why it simply can't be. Those who follow in the Talmud should either follow the central. I think it's more accurate to follow the achtel. Fine. But most of us in this room don't follow in the Talmud at all. We're following the Shitas HaGro. Shitas HaGro means that for all purposes we have to make sure that whatever requires day is over when the sun sets beneath the horizon, printed in the New York Times. And it's important for many things. One, no malacha may be done. Rav Moshe in the Tshuva, and to stop malacha 2 minutes before that time, minimally. Where do you get 2 minutes from? He didn't tell us. I believe it's perhaps based on the Mishnah in the Sechet Shabbos, but the Mishnah says, V'chula mutarim im ha-shemesh, end of the first parak of the Sechet Shabbos. And it takes approximately 2 minutes, a little bit more, for the sun to rise and to set, as the Groz Magia Shlish Isr Shah in the Chos Krishma. So therefore 2 minutes, you can only do Malacha when the sun, the great ball of fire, is all visible. When it starts to set, it's already till Sefer Shabbos, mandatory. And therefore, it's a little bit more than 2 minutes. For other areas, you can go all the way up to Shkia, till the very bitter end. You know, just don't miscalculate, you know. What is that? For example, Tfilas Mincha. Tfilas Mincha Ad Ha'erev. What does Ad Ha'erev mean? According to the Vilna Gaon, Ad Ha'erev clearly means Shkia Sachama, because all those calculations we just had before. You go back, Plaga Mincha, Mincha Ktana, Mincha Gdola. It is only going to work if you start at sunset and work your way backwards. If you just go with the Grand Krishma, it all fits into the same pattern. According to those who follow the Rabbeinu Tam, I believe the Shagas Aryeh is correct, the famous Shagas Aryeh. If you have been a time, you can dive in Mincha all the way until Tzeisa Kochavim, including Ben HaShemoshes. Ad Ha'erev. And Erev is the time when you are calculating the hours. You don't calculate hours from Shkia Shnia. It's no symmetry. Again, but since we don't follow the Rabbeinu Tam, for Shabbos, we don't follow Rabbeinu Tam. We don't keep Shabbos out so late. We should have no right to rely upon him with respect to Tzfilas Mincha. It's very important to see to it that Mincha is davened before the sun sets. Of course, ideally, as the Mishnah Berurah writes, should finish it before the sun sets. At least the parts that are absolute halacha. That means Shmoneh Esrei. Ideally, including Chazaras HaShatz. The Aruch HaShulchan has a wild idea. He said if you face the Torah of Brachos one day, if you start before the Shkia, you can continue. If you're really stuck, you have no choice, so you should rely on the Aruch HaShulchan. That's based on a Chiddush that comes from Bilam HaRosha. It's almost surreal, that Chiddush. Although, if you look in the Gaonim, they say so. Not the Aruch HaShulchan. It goes back 1,000 years to the Gaonim, suggested that. You start before, so you already start, it's good enough. Yes?
Most can advise whether it's better to daven Sibor or
Mark Zarah. The Brewer explains it's better to daven be Yechidus before Shkia, then daven b'tzibur after Shkia. Let's see about that Aruch HaShulchan nuance for the moment. That's a little makes it a complication. But let's say you go to a shul and they're not going to start till after the Shkia. So you really shouldn't be davening there. Maybe they have a different approach. They follow Rabbeinu Tam and everything. But we don't have that luxury. Ad Erev means until Shkia. That's it. Finish. The end. So it's important to try your best. You know, they always get put into difficult circumstances. These things can happen. You can't predict everything. Yes?
With respect to the issue of starting davening before the tzibur that you're in, so if you walked into a shul, you don't have time to go find another tzibur, you suddenly start davening mincha before they start.
You know, mipnei hakavod, the ideal would be if they're sitting around and learning Ein Yankov or whatever they're doing, and you want to daven mincha, mipnei hakavod, go to the back, to the ante room, and daven and no one will see. But that's not always possible. There's only one, it's a one-room school, you know. It's not always possible. You should try. Okay? Any questions?
Doesn't the Mechaber hold that it's something like a third of an hour after Shkia? Is that Mincha?
the mechaber bechlal holds a kabbalah tam. Called the kabbalah tam, everything is different.
Should we all agree with tzeis?
Correct. Correct. And a late tzeis, in my opinion, as well. So I'm not here to critique others. I'm saying, but those of us who are not careful about Motzei Shabbos keeping, in my view, an achdel, or at least a tzentel, I think I would venture most people in this room are not so careful on Motzei Shabbos, so we shouldn't be davening mincha after the sun sets. I don't see how that's inconsistent. Yes?
So where do all the calendars get the degrees when the sun's 16 degrees beneath the horizon?
16 degrees beneath the horizon is the equivalent of 72 minutes in Yerushalayim in the springtime. That's what I get it from.
And what is 6 degrees above the horizon per se?
I don't know what you're talking about. No, I know that. 16, I understand. 19.8? I understand that too. That's 90 minutes extrapolated.
What about the 6 and 4.5 and all the other?
That's all made up. There's no basis for that in anywhere. Yeah?
The situation arises that one hasn't done.
No, you missed mincha. Now the daven marav twice.
After Shkia,
you might as well wait till after says gacha. What's the rush?
And also, this is where you mentioned that Moshe says 2 minutes before Shkia to stop doing malacha.
Correct. Except for Shabbos. Correct. Yes.
Doesn't the degree system assume calculating from the night?
Assume what?
The acht of the tzintel I calculate and the time of the night.
They start from sunsets, astronomical sunset, and they give degrees. Until they reach their various points. Correct. I mentioned before Plaga Mincha. That's also important for a different reason. Plaga Mincha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, is the cutoff point between Mincha and Maariv. You can have a Mincha until Plaga Mincha and Maariv thereafter. What is Plaga Mincha, according to us who follow the Gra? It's an hour and a quarter before the sun sets, but not an hour and a quarter, 75 minutes etched in stone. It's a relative hour and a quarter. It will vary between summer and winter, etc., etc. So, the Gemara is an interesting expression of Masechta Brachos. The Ovid Kamar Ovid. You have to pick your poison. You take your choice. Either follow Rabbi Yehuda or follow Rabbanon. But, according to Tosafot Beis and Brachos and others, most possibly cannot be inconsistent. Either follow Rabbi Yehuda or follow Rabbanon. Ideally, we shouldn't even have inconsistencies between one day and the next. That's ideally. However, the poskim are makel for Shas HaTzorech to have inconsistencies from one day to the next. Internal inconsistency on the same day, that is very problematic. There's a stiras of Mishnah Berurah, Pashup Shadid, that should not work at all. That's an intrinsic inconsistency between Yodav Mincha Nata and Yodav Mimara. They really should not be done. Of course, in many shuls in America, they do it, especially on Friday night. They'll daven 7 o'clock all summer long, which is a time of convenience, which is neither here nor there, and they run into this tide of disaster for the entire period of the sun, which is not to my liking. Is there any justification whatsoever? Mishnah Berurah's steers in one place. He says, well, in order to be able to make us feel a bit tzibur, maybe there's some kind of leniency, but I don't understand why it should be so according to our accepted halacha. And other places, he says, in fact, that he shouldn't do it at all. So you should daven earlier, be a chidus. What can you do? But if you're making your own shul, you should try to daven either before and after Shkia, should be the Mincha Maariv, or before and after Plaga Mincha, should be the Mincha Maariv. Not what we call in our language a Tarte de Sasra. Yes?
Is there more room for the Heter than to start the Sasra during the week as opposed to Shabbos?
No, the other way around. There's more of a Heter on Shabbos than during the week, and I'll explain to you why. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, it's more explicit than others, Svarim, that you can daven Maariv as soon as you finish davening Mincha. Kriya Shema may have a later Zman, Tetz Gachavim, but Shmon Esrei Maariv, as soon as you finish Mincha, you can daven Maariv. And the question is why? We have a general principle, a Tetz Gachavim is no man's land, it's neither here nor there, so we should be too late for Mincha, should be too early for Maariv. Should we be required to wait to daven Maariv until after Tzeis Kachavim, which is Vaday Laila? That's a very good question. So I believe the answer is based upon my great-grandfather, the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua has this unbelievable suggestion, beginning of Brachas, maybe you can daven Marv as early as 12:30 in the afternoon. We get that very simple. Because the Gemara says that Tfilas Arvis is connected the Evarim Upidarim. It's connected the placing of the limbs and the insides of the Korban Tumah Shobein Arbayim on the Mizbeach. It says the Pnei Yeshua, if you can offer the sacrifice as early as Mincha Gedola, so a minute later you put the stuff on the Mizbeach, you should have Mincha that early. What's wrong with that picture? Why don't we accept it? The answer is the Mishnah says in Besechta Brachas, fourth parab, Tfilas Erev Ein Lo Keva. What does Ein Lo Keva mean? So the Gemara says it means Tfilas Arvis Rishus. Rabbi Yonah says that's not the simple pshat. The whole Mishnah is talking about Zmanim. What it means is, since Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, Ein Lo Keva means there's no time of its own. You know what its time is? It's defined negatively. When it's not the time for Shachas, and it's not the time for Mincha, that's when it's time for Ma'ariv. Since you can only daven Mincha until the Shchia, the minute the sun sets, you're right, we can daven Ma'ariv. That's the truth, in my opinion. Yes?
One finds himself in a situation where the Shul is diving the Ma'ariv after fire.
Good question. Ideally, it'd be better to daven Ma'ariv, because it's Tfilas Arvis Rishus. However, since you're going to be stuck going to the house of your host, and you're not going to be able to do that, in most cases, then it's better to have mincha b'yichidus before plak. If they'll let you, okay. You're right. That is better. Let me go a little further than that. The Rambam has a leniency. The Rambam seems to say that you can... before I get to the Rambam. So there are those who claim that during the week, if you say plaga mincha, you daven mincha, you can no longer daven. You cannot daven ma'ariv. We know why. It's still zman mincha. You can't daven twice, but it's still zman mincha. Let's say you made a mistake in your first. Let's say you decide you want to daven mincha. Tfilas nedava, second mincha. I don't know what. You can still daven mincha. But on Shabbos it's not that way. On Shabbos, once you're mekabel Shabbos, you can no longer daven mincha. So you've artificially ended Zman Mincha early, which has the positive effect of beginning Zman Ma'ariv. There were those who suggest opposite of what you said, that during the week it's a tie to the Sasri, but on Shabbos it's not a tie to the Sasri, because when you daven Mincha at 7 o'clock after Plag, at that point you still could have daven Mincha. And when you sing the Chododi and Miz Mashir at 7:30, you can no longer daven Mincha, hence it's now Zman Ma'ariv. Yeah?
Says,
I'm just telling you what others say. Others say. It is a shtigl alumnus. The Rambam has a different approach. Rambam is a tefillas arvas v'shus tefichach aim medaklik in bismana. I don't think he's concerned about tata disasri. Either Gemara is kemat mafurish and brachas, so you can't have a tata disasri. I believe that the Rambam understood that Gemara before the Gemara realized that Tfilas Arvis Rishus, if you recall the Sugin Brachas, until they came to the blot later, they first woke up, Tfilas Arvis Rishus. If it's Chova, then you have a problem of Tata Disasri. If it's Rishus, there's no problem. So maybe Klal Yisrael, without even realizing it's relying on the Rambam, Nibba Leodah Mashaniba, or on Shabbos, relying on this fancy Cheshbon I just told you before. It's all fancy Cheshbonis. But Mika Radin, it seems to me that we should try to avoid this Tata Disasri, both on Shabbos and during the week, and if you want to daven early, daven mincha, plaga mincha, even daven mincha before plaga mincha, then you can daven marav thereafter. Clear? Yes.
If one during, let's say, the winter months can make Shabbos early and daven marav early, so why can't one daven mincha and then just accept upon himself Shabbos? So it's all nighttime, one daven marav.
That's why? What I just was just saying.
So what's the problem?
Nah. The Pashtus is, you want to accept Shabbos, you can accept Shabbos upon yourself, the Chumra, that you're also the Malach. But that should impact that now Zman Ma'ariv has begun because Zman Mincha has ended. Zman Mincha only ends when it ends for everybody in town. When the sun sets beneath the rise, you want to arbitrarily and artificially and unilaterally make Shabbos early, you cannot create Zman Ma'ariv. That's what the most possible is. Yes?
Like a mincha, is that a general shita at the beginning of night?
nighttime, so does that mean for other areas of halacha, like a krishma or
a that's a question, a question. But some poskim say it affects the chos krishma, some say it affects the chos sviras omer, some disagree very vehemently about that. That's not for now. That's not for now. It's too long of a discussion. Let's go a little bit further. As Rabbanim, some of you may be called upon to establish calendars in your shul, and one of the contentious issues is sof zman krishma. Not contentious during the week, never a problem. But Shabbos is a problem. People like to sleep late. It's a reality. And as they quote it, Shena Meshubachas. They quote it as Miris, Rabbi. What are you doing to me? But right, you have to wake me up early. I received such complaints. When I came to my shul, the first thing I did was change this morning, the time on Shabbos, from 9 o'clock to 8:30. Boom. One fell swoop during the honeymoon. 8:30. And I got away with it, quote unquote. And it's been that way ever since. Now, at that time that I did this, it's all about over 30 years ago. So by moving the clock from 9 o'clock to 8:30, we had a tremendous impact on Zman Krishma in the shul on Shabbos. When it was 9 o'clock, you missed the Zman 90% of the time. 9 o'clock, till you get this Krishma, it takes you to 9:30 something, 9:40 something, whatever, how fast you daven. You missed, now you can make it. Now, from starting from now until another month, but most of the year you can't make it. You're going to miss it. You move to 8:30, you almost never miss it. You almost, almost always good. You would miss it, you know, mid-March till the end of April, when they were moving the clock then at the end of April. So what can you do? Tefasta, rubelo, tefasta. I was a new boy in the block. I'm going to start changing that. So that's how it went for a number of years. After a few years, I decided it's ridiculous. What is this? Let's make this man every week. So, I was printing up the schedule, which is a rabbinic prerogative and obligation, and I printed up the schedule before Rosh Hashanah for the whole until Pesach, and I wrote down Shabbos 8:20, 8:10, 8:10 to 8, because that's how early it used to get. 8:28 was the earliest Sof Zman Krishma in those years. So we'd have 10 to 8. Imagine my balava, I wasn't fired. It took me a few years. But we moved 10 to 8. I still remember like yesterday. It was in the summer, 19 summers ago, a balabos came to me. He's a smart man. He says, Rabbi, you're always outsmart, as he says. Because you're always printing the schedule before Rosh Hashanah. And it's too late to change. Some commentary before it came out. Don't do it. I go to another shul, and the other shul they have an 8:30 all year long, and they say Krishna in the house. And what is this business? And people can't get up so early. And he had two other requests that he made of me. The two other requests I acceded to, graciously, but this I wouldn't budge. Before I moved, Congress moved. Congress moved about 15 years ago, I think, and moved it from the last Sunday in April to the first Sunday in April, thereby saving me at least 3 weeks, and therefore now I never have to go before 8:10. So the Balabata can sleep 20 minutes later, 8:10. Still, it's a little bit of a sore point. So now, without me, Zocha Nasa Melach Nadei Acherim. I don't know if you're aware of it. Congress just passed the rule, I believe, this summer, the energy bill, and they moved it. They moved it even earlier. They now, I believe, are moving it, I think, the third Sunday in March, or something like that. Am I correct? The third Sunday in March, and they moved it 1 week later to the first Sunday in November. That's a critical week because all these years I've had to start 5 minutes earlier that first Shabbos in November because it gets a little bit too early. They start balabata and say, what are you doing? They didn't realize it's only for 1 week. They're thinking, oh, you're making us crazy again. So it's only 1 week, not enough to do it anymore. The government moved before I moved. The government now moved it a week, that's okay. And I believe now, if you daven quickly enough, if you start at 8:30, you can make the Zman Krishma every single week of the year. If I'm not mistaken. But there's new change. Congress, Rosa. Write your congressman a letter. Thank you very much.
It'll create problems with davening Shachar.
It does create certain problems during the week. That's another situation. How early can you daven during the week? So I'll tell you another story. the first shiur I ever gave in my Rabbonis in Riverdale was on this topic. After my mazel, I was elected the rabbi end of 1973. The oil embargo. Yes, worse than the story of New Orleans. The oil embargo, there was 12 months a year daylight savings time. That means the sun rose when I first came into the shul 8:20 in the morning. Help! Help! So it was. I think it was December of 73. I hadn't even moved in yet. And they were in a total panic. And I'm supposed to be the Pesach Achron. Me, I'm a little kid. I haven't moved in yet. And I'm going to pass in the shadow. So I remember the first year that I gave, I came to my shul. I wasn't moved in. I walked in, the shul was locked. There were two people standing outside waiting for me to say the shiur. Neither was for my shul. One was the late Rabbi Schmidman Zichrono Levracha, who just passed away very recently, who was the rabbi then of the RJC. He wanted to know what to do. And the other one was Rabbi Ganawa Zichrono Levracha, who was a good neighbor, lived down the block. He also wanted to know, what's this? What do we do? How do we handle this situation? And the other rabbanim came. It was a whole maimon, and I actually printed something for SOY at the time. Whew. I've become much more makel since that time. You know, you get older, you learn more tricks. But Afal Pikan, it was somewhat difficult because the sun rises at 8:20. So you know, Alos HaShachar is not that early, and Mishayakir is his man for the ideals man for certain things, and it's even Me'akir according to some poskim in the Broch on Tfilin and in Tzitzis and in Kriyishma. Or Birchus Kriyishma, I should say, it becomes a problem. The Misha Yakir is the one zman that we have no clue from Shas how to measure it in minutes. We described before the machlokas about Tzitzkel Chavim and about Plaga Mincha and about Zman Kriyishma and Zman Tfila, it works. But no one gives any clue how you measure Misha Yakir. We're clueless. So, but it should be the easiest to conduct scientific experiments about it, right? Should, yeah, should. But not so simple. See, you take a friend who you know a little bit, not so well, and put him 4 hours away, and see how long you're going to recognize him. That's not so easy to say, you know. Who are you? Oh, I know I recognize you. It's not so easy to make that experiment either. Estimates vary. I believe it's the Prima Godem who says that Mishayakir is 6 minutes after Alos HaShachar. That's great. Great news. Rav Moshe, though, is quoted as saying that he could be as late as 35 minutes before the sun rises. Rav Moshe is also quoted as saying it depends upon the day. Is it a cloudy day or a sunny day? It's a sunny day, Mishayakir is earlier than a cloudy day. I find that so hard to understand, but that's... what about the fluorescent lights? So there's some who say, if you put on fluorescent lights, as soon as it's Alos HaShachar, it's Mishayakir. I just find that mind-boggling. But... what is this man? So the most, if you look at the most of the Siddurim and Eretz Yisrael, this man varies between 50 and 60 minutes before sunrise. As being estimates of Mishayakir. That's what they call the degrees, 10 degrees, 11 degrees. I'm not sure where they got these numbers from, frankly. Maybe there's some experimentation. So in America, it should be even a little bit earlier than that. Given the, you know, what we said before, the nightfall is, you know, it's... everything's just longer. Everything takes longer, so if it's taking longer, so the percentage-wise... The Mishayakir presumably will be a little bit earlier than that. So what you should do is start the minyan after Alos HaShachar in these kind of difficult situations. You can't stop before that. And then, hopefully, if you don't daven too quickly, by the time you get to Birchas Krishma, you're already past the at least the earliest version of Mishayakir. Certainly the 6 minute version. I can't imagine getting in 6 minutes. Even the Terach Minyanim take at least 6 minutes to get from the beginning of davening until Birchas Krishma. I mean, I can't imagine less than that. But even in the more somewhat later zmanim that you find that there's a possibility of reaching them, you know, again, depends on the circumstances, depends on the shul. Is this a lechatchila or b'di'evet? So, of course, the ideal time to daven shachris is v'sikin. Krishma before nates and Shemoneh Esrei at nates. But if you can't do that for whatever reason, does it matter if you take Shemoneh Esrei before Nates or after Nates? A big machlokes. Some say before Nates is only b'di'evet. Others say no. It's no difference before Nates or after Nates. That's a pre-chadosh, and many others will follow in his footsteps. That's always been my view. That if the balabat have to daven early, let him daven early. Let him daven early. I got to tell you that the balabat are from the mina. They get these new charts. You know, they didn't have charts all these years. Now they have all these charts. Rabbi, what are you doing? It's too early. So I explained to me, I have an earlier Mishayakir, and an earlier this, and an earlier that. Of course, they also have an earlier beginning of the fast day. They don't like that, the balabat. They want to start the fast 72 minutes flat before the sun rises. And I'm giving them 16.1, whatever it is, which is significantly earlier. I spare them the 19.8. So we can make a case for it on two grounds. You can make a case of 19.8 either by saying it's a 4 mil times 22 and a half. You can also make a case that it's 5 mil times 18. Now, even though 5 mil seems to have been schlugged up in the Sugim Psachim, the Tosis in a few places seems to say, no, 5 mil really exists. Don't have time to go into the intricacies of how that's possible. If I can make a commercial, the Sefer Am Mordechai and Masechta Shabbat that just came out over the summer, has a discussion of this. Those are the last few pages in your handouts sheet. The Sugim Psachim. It's basically page 30 through 32 in your sheet. Those three pages will explain to you that's also an option, and it's not against the Maskanas of Gemara. If you be creative in a new and totally new interpretation in the Sugya, which will resolve the problems which seem to hamper either Shitas HaRambam, who seems to have from a 24-minute mil, and the sheet of Tosfos seems to have from a 5 mil from Alos until Nates and Shki until Tzeis. Both of those were resolved. You know, seems to be against the Gemara, a little bit more B'i, and you can give it Teretz. Okay, I'd rather spend the rest of the time on more practical stuff, and you can look it up yourself in your free time. But are there any questions before I come to some summation? Is everything clear? So you're all ready now to make a calendar? Because that's going to be the kind of, if you they're going to do it yourself, or you're going to have to put your input in. Yes?
Isn't it much more from the Metzius that it would not be the Diabet Tadabin before next comma, because the way the Gemara says it, it seems like what happened was, if you were to wait until Masikin, you would be waiting until after it was possible to work in the fields. Because you would be davening while the sun was up and you could see. Whereas if you wanted to get more work time, you would daven before.
Correct. But that may only be a bit Diabet. You can daven early because you have to catch a plane. You can daven early because you have to go to work. But that doesn't mean you daven early for frivolous reasons. But they say, no. There's no difference. If I daven Shmoneh Esrei, I start Shmoneh Esrei 10 minutes before sunrise, or 10 minutes after sunrise. What's the difference? Vesikin is correct. If I must say, it's Vesikin. By the way, my version of Vesikin is, I'm a liberal in Vesikin. My version of Vesikin is, as long as you start Shmoneh Esrei when the sun is rising. Not a split second. If it's a split second, it's EF Shal Tzamtzeh. It means while it is rising, how much of a margin is that? Back to my 2 minutes. Shlish Isur Shah, as the Gra says. So you have, if you start Monastery Shachris from the moment the first glimmer of the sun is visible, and they have that printed out to the seconds in Abbas Medesh. Not minutes, seconds! But in my view, you have a 2 minute plus margin after that. And as long as you start Shmoneh Esrei within that 2 minute margin, you I label you as a daven v'sikin, you can smile the whole day as a Gemara as a Masechta Brachos. Yes?
Just going back to the middle of the shiur, we said that Tuchinsky pushing him out here for the Dreisus to follow his time. And that time was 3 stars, basically.
It's 3 stars, and he found the 3 stars in 22 to 26 minutes after the sun sets in Jerusalem. Extrapolated to New York, I came up with cheshbonos of 26-34 minutes. You may have to, if you try to be a little bit more strict, when I discovered that the shkia that he was calculating from was a few minutes before my shkia, because he was calculating from the mountaintop of Yerushalayim, not in the calendar. So maybe you have to make a slight amendment to those manim, that slight. Yes?
So if you're going to show the diamonds tomorrow, let's say right after shkia, would one have to repeat?
Absolutely. Absolutely have to repeat Shmalei, that's for sure. I should say for sure. I mean, there are posts who say it can be yotzi from plaga mincha. My view is the only ones who say it can be yotzi from plaga mincha are those who say that plaga mincha is Rabbeinu Tam's version. 3 minutes before the Shkia. As opposed to those who are like Rashi, play Mincha an hour and a quarter before the sun sets beneath the horizon. How can you have a Mincha Marv then? How can you say Krishma then, I should say? People are wide awake. Kind of a Shach Bacha. But the Sama say Yotzi after Shkia, the Rishita, based on the Gemara and the Brachas. We should certainly repeat the Shema in such a circumstance. How many minutes you have to wait? That's what gets tricky. For example, we daven in Ashul, we have 2 minyanim for Mincha Marv and Friday night in the summertime. Once they move the clock. Before they move the clock, we have only 1 minyan. We daven Mincha before the Shkia, Kabbalah Shabbos. I always say a Shir between Kabbalah Shabbos and Marv. And aside from having Talmud Torah the Rabbim, an additional purpose of the Shir is to push Kriyashma past the at least the earlier version of the Gros Zman Kriyashma and optimally the later version of the Gros Zman Kriyashma, which is a little more than half an hour after the sun sets beneath the horizon. Look, they figured out, they think Kabbalah Shabbos, it takes Kabbalah Shabbos, they think the Chododi, you know. So you don't have to speak usually until 15 minutes or so. It was even a little bit more after the sun sets beneath the horizon. And then you speak about 15 minutes, already you reach that Zman. You can only get away speaking for 5-10 minutes. You have the earliest Zman. Okay. That's what I do. But in the summertime, you only have 2 minyanim, no speech. One is straight through before and after Plaga Mincha. One is straight through before and after Shkia. Good. So you say Krishma at the end. Good. We announce it. What about Sviro? Sphira. So that always gets tricky. Rabbis, we say Sphira, should we not say Sphira? So in my shul, they daven during the week, Mincha Mara, back to back, they do not say Sphira. They make an announcement. Everyone should go home, and when it gets dark, they say Krishma and Sphira. What about Friday night? People are going to forget. So we almost, this past season, We were able just about every week to say Sphira as well. When was Sphira? I always said that the Sphira to be about a half an hour past the sunset. Remember, this is Shaiva de Rabbanan. Remember, according to one day in the Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to say Sphira, but Dafka Ben Hashemashes. Only the Medaktigim say Sphira later. So this is a Shaiva de Rabbanan. So I would, if I had it, I'd say Sphira even just 25 minutes after the Shkia, maybe even a little bit earlier in certain Shas HaTzchak situations. Okay, it's for those who have Shas HaTzchak. When is a fast over, for example? I never give out a Zman when the fast is over, my shul. I never tell them. Why? Because my Zman is much too early. They'd fire me if I told them my Zman is. Because my Zman is this early Zman. It's a half an hour or so after the Shkia. You can't say that in public. So I say, look, when is this Zman? We daven Marav such and such a time. About half an hour after Shkia. So guy sees Marv, okay, so he says, it's fair as well, it's not Marv, you're right. Then if he's really, really hungry, or after Marv, it's already 42 minutes by the time you finish Marv, good enough. You don't have to worry about this Kochav and Ritzufim for the quote minor fast. And even for Tisha B'Av, it's the Rabban, you don't have to worry about so much of such strong Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, so I never announce when the fast is over Yom Kippur either. What do I announce in my bulletin? Shofar. The time for Shofar I put in the bulletin. It says, I Davanila. So I'm the one. It's the only time I ever look at a watch in davening. Only time. Right now. To look at a watch in davening is a sacrilege. How can you look at a watch? You're busy talking to your Baruch Shalom. But Yom Kippur, you have to look at the watch because you get involved in some big kavanas and everyone's starving. That's not right. Or you go too fast. It's also not right. So you have to have a watch. How do you have kavanas? Whoa. My time is up. Just look at my watch. So I'll have to end. But we will show for around that 42 minutes approximately, even a little bit earlier. Because it's a late davening marav, etc. It's a fast day. Etc. Much more can be said about Zmanim. But at least in this Shir on Zmanim, I want to be Makbar on the Zmanim. And then when the time is up, it's important there's Rabbanah to be Makbar in the Zmanim. If you're not Makbar, the Balabata will certainly not be Makbar. If you are, they'll take it much more seriously. Matzloch
Rab. Whoever has attendance sheets, please pass it up. Did everyone sign the attendance sheets?
No.
Is Mincha on the agenda, Rabbi Schwartz? Now Zman Mincha. We call it Deus. But they will have Mincha. So we'll leave us with no one. So let's have Mincha. We want to make Spanish. Can you hear that? Yeah. Make a fast Mincha, okay? Not too fast, just regular fast. Unless you want to make it, no, you want to say something, make it, is there a 3 o'clock menu? I don't want to cost it. Sounds like a vote. Rabbi Schwartz tells me there's a tillim that they're saying in the yeshiva, because Yom Kippur Katan, the problems in Eretz Israel, the problems in New Orleans, after the Mincha and the Bein Beis Medrash. Do you guys want to go say that tillim? Then we won't have enough time to daven. We won't be there for time for that. Or if we can daven Mincha now and come in the middle of it. What do you prefer? You want that Mincha now? Okay. Mincha. How do you want that? Okay. Ashrei Asher Beisach.
Thank you. Israel.